It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. There are a lot of questions about Illinois' budget for the next fiscal year, as federal funding is still up in the air. COVID relief funds have run out. But Governor Pritzker's budget proposal does still include some new funding for education. Meanwhile, State Superintendent Tony Sanders has told school districts to keep offering lessons about Black history, Asian American history, LGBT history, even as the federal government takes aim at diversity in education. Here to talk about all this and more is Samantha Smiley, a reporter for Chalk Beat Chicago, the education-focused news service. Samantha, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thank you all for having me back.
All right, Samantha, we've talked with a lot of public officials already about the state of this year's budget proposal. The deficits are, as it turns out, not quite as bad as they had been projected to be, but in a lot of ways, the budget is a matter of the state picking and choosing its battles. So under this proposed budget, in the world of education, what is getting priority?
We have seen Pritzker over the years put more emphasis on early childhood education for Illinois kids who are, you know, between just being born to about 4 years old. And so we've seen him put some money into the child care assistance program, or it's called CCAP. And that will help families who need child care, but they also come from low income households. We do see an additional $350 million towards K-12 public schools. And then we also see some money going towards grants for kiddos who are college bound. Well, I should say students, because I'm pretty sure they don't think of themselves as kiddos.
I know, but we're getting old, so we can say kiddos.
I'm like, yeah, like now, like when I was 17, I wouldn't want anybody to call me a kiddo. I'm making decisions. I'm actually signing off on loans at this point, but I'm almost 30 now, so like feels like a world of a difference.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, so you raise an interesting point, because, you know, I think we all know that phrase K-12, and then it was P-12, and now it's B-12, birth to 12. And this is one of those areas where Pritzker has long, even before he was governor, this was an area of interest of his. And he says, look, this is one of those things where he used as an example, I'm willing to cut some of the stuff I care about, or maybe not invest in it as much as I would like to, which is something that got the hackles of a lot of lawmakers raised.
Yeah, and it makes sense now that there's like the B-12 movement, because now we have more child developmental research in the field of psychology that shows that, like, hey, you develop language actually way before you start school. You start gaining language, your ability to talk and to recognize like little sounds like ah, da, just in that first like year of being born. And especially in the first 0 to 3 years, you actually get thousands of words in your vocabulary. So it is like really important now. And yes, the budget has always been about what is realistic for the state of Illinois with the revenue source that's coming in and the bills that it has to pay. And so it makes sense that, yes, they want to prioritize education because it is the most important things. We are, you know, education prepares the next labor force, the next generation of our labor force in Illinois. And so it's important to like fund it. And you have to fund it at a certain level, because we know that children across the state are getting different educational experiences, and there needs to be some equity in how that is done.
And you're talking about, I mean, what you're getting at is one of these ideas. It came about quite a few years back now, but this idea of adequate funding for all the schools, and the state was pumping in more money. The goal was to reach that by 2027, this idea of adequate funding. What is the budget situation looking like for school districts in the coming year?
Yeah, and so 2027 is almost here, right? And it does look like researchers have said that if the state continue to put $350 million to the evidence-based funding formula, they will not reach that deadline. They might reach that deadline a couple of years later, maybe in the 2030s. And that's why some advocates have been saying, hey, we need at least $550 million towards the formula. In this moment of time with schools, it feels like even a bigger need, because emergency COVID relief funds that the state received, which was about $7 billion, that money expired in the fall. So schools will not have that cushion next school year, and I'm pretty sure that the budgeteers at school districts are looking at their budgets like, we really don't have the money for the programs that we had to help students catch up after the pandemic. And it does look like it's going to be really tight with school districts, even though the state did put in additional money towards that K-12 evidence-based funding formula.
One of the other big question marks over education funding, and really a lot of other government funding too this year, is what's happening in Washington. And we've talked on the show about how diversity, equity, and inclusion is a real target of the Trump administration. President Trump has been looking to also, I guess, dismantle the Department of Education. How is Illinois educational leadership responding to this uncertainty over these issues?
Yeah, this is a big part of the story that I've been trying to keep up with because there has been plenty of threats towards federal funding coming out of the Trump administration, especially when it comes to education. And there is a concern about like whether those federal funds funding streams will still hold for the next school year. And it feels uncertain at this point in time. I know that the state is kind of like, we just have to keep doing what we're doing until we know. Yeah, because it's a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, and we saw Superintendent Sanders, I guess, saying or giving a message to schools that they should continue complying with state law about teaching Black history and LGBTQ history and things like that.
Yes, and that was in response to a Dear Colleague letter that was sent on like Valentine's Day, which I mean, that's a very interesting time to send a letter like that, which is basically saying like, we're going to take your money if you continue to do anything around diversity initiatives, even if you don't include consider race in that. And Sanders and a lot of state officials have been saying this, which is that like Illinois has its own laws. And you are mandated as a school district to continue teaching African American history, LGBTQ history, Asian American history. That is just in the law. And also, you have to continue educating and giving a free and appropriate education to students, regardless of their citizenship. And I think that when we've been talking about this, I even have the question of like, so what is going to hold in this moment? Is it going to be federal law ceding state law, or will it be the other way around? And will there be some changes? I think there's some ideologies that say like, well, whatever's the state law, that should hold. But if federal funding is going to be taken away, I think I don't know what state officials are going to do next.
Yeah. Last thing I want to ask about the Freedom Caucus is trying to get involved here, too. This is a group of ultra-conservative Republicans in the Illinois House of Representatives. I guess they've written a letter, sort of like trying to call attention to what the superintendent was saying here statewide.
That's a nice way to say it, calling attention. It sounds like they're snitching.
Okay. Your words. Okay.
It sounds like they're alerting the Trump White House to what has been said in Illinois at this moment in time. And I have seen some of these conservative lawmakers also filing certain bills to that like look like they aligned with Trump. So for instance, they have filed bills around like education savings accounts. They have filed bills around repealing the Trust Act, which is a law that says to law enforcement that they cannot work with immigration and custom enforcement agents, also known as ICE, and that there's also another bill out there that bans trans girls from participating in sports. It's an interesting moment because it's like the state is still very much so held by the Democratic Party. And so while those bills might not pass, and again, we don't know what might happen at the federal level to the state, it feels just very political. Like they're making sure that people know that they align with Trump in this moment.
Yeah, I mean, the Freedom Caucus is a minority of a minority, a super minority party. So, I mean, I think it's highly unlikely that the Democratic supermajorities would take up their legislation. But as we say, time will tell. Samantha Smiley with Chalk Beat Chicago, thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us on the 21st show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Now to national politics, where this week Governor J.B. Pritzker made the rounds in Washington in search of answers regarding almost $2 billion in federal funding he says the Trump administration has cut off from Illinois. With us to talk about this and more is Illinois Public Media's Washington correspondent Linda Kenyon. Linda, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Brian. Happy to be here.
Before we go on, I should note, as we've done a lot lately in this chaotic news environment, once again, we taped with Linda Thursday evening in order to meet our schedules. So Governor Pritzker, along with Illinois U.S. Senators Dick Durbin, Tammy Duckworth, all 14 of Illinois' Democratic congressional representatives, all signed on to a letter this week about those frozen funds that are supposed to be going to the state. What is that funding meant for?
Well, the funding is meant for many programs in the state of Illinois, and this cutoff of federal funds has not just affected Illinois, as you can imagine, but every state across the nation. And so in this letter that Pritzker sent to the Russell Vogt, he is the head of the Office of Management and Budget, that's the White House Budget Office, he just said, you know, these rescissions have been beyond the pale, and the funds were contractually agreed to and allocated and planned around by recipients, and that those programs include child care providers, educational institutions, small businesses, community and economic development organizations, and so much more. And he said that the restrictions on these funds have had a detrimental impact on the state's most vulnerable people, as well as local economies and the state as a whole. So he's saying, you know, when are you going to restore these funds that you were supposed to restore? And basically, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are they doing? Can you answer that question?
Well, this is all part of the Department of Government Efficiency, which is not an actual department. It's more like a task force that President Trump formed, and he gave the reins of control to billionaire Elon Musk. Elon Musk has said that he is not cutting funding. He's cutting waste, fraud, and abuse. And that goes right down to cutting jobs and saying that all these federal workers who are being let go were, you know, either not doing their jobs or were redundant, et cetera, and so forth. Of course, that has not been proven to be true. But nonetheless, it's having a deep impact, not just on the federal workforce, but on the states as well. That this is kind of a sledgehammer approach instead of a scalpel approach. And there's been a lot of pushback from the states. And whether Republican senators and members of the House have spoken out publicly about this or not, they have been taking it on the chin, quite frankly, from a lot of their constituents at town hall meetings, for example. And we do hear that through back channels, the president of the United States is hearing that a lot of them are very concerned, that they're saying, Mr. President, a lot of these cuts to programs are affecting people who voted for us and, moreover, voted for you, Mr. President. And this is not going over very well. But it is going, and there doesn't seem to be any effort to stop these cuts from the Department of Government Efficiency, which is very much affecting the state of Illinois.
Yeah. On that point, there's a really well-done story in the Washington Post this week. People can Google it if they want to read it, about a young woman in Michigan who was working for the Forest Service. She was probationary, got good reviews. She had voted for President Trump because he was going to make IVF government paid for in the future, and she's hoping to take advantage of that for having her own children, and because she had some medical issue, and she was laid off from the Forest Service with so many other probationary employees across government. It was a really empathetic, actually, and well-done story.
I will say that probationary employees are being let go in droves. Now, federal workers will move from one agency to another, from one job to another, constantly. And every time they do that, the clock resets and they become probationary. Well, the problem is a lot of these now deemed probationary workers have been in the federal workforce for 10, 20, 25, 30 years. And when the clock starts ticking all over again as probationary, a lot of them are being laid off because they're probationary, whereas they aren't really probationary when you consider how long they have been civil servants.
Yeah, it's not a bunch of 20-somethings, as one might imagine, a probationary employee brand new to the government. Like you said, they have a lot of seniority built up. Well, we have so little time left. You did mention that other part of government. What's it called? Oh, the Congress, right. You know, we've talked so many times about prospects of a shutdown. We're 2 weeks away from another potential government shutdown. The House passed a sort of a preliminary budget resolution. It had a lot of tax and spending cuts. I understand there's opposition to that in the Senate. Where do we stand in terms of keeping the government operating?
Yeah, well, the House and the Senate bills are very, very different. The Senate bill is not the one big, beautiful bill that's a quote from President Trump that he wanted. It doesn't include the tax cuts, for example, the 2017 tax cuts that went into effect for the high wage earners, or the millionaires and the billionaires. It does not make them permanent. It doesn't include them at all. The House bill does. And the problem with that now is that the clock is ticking. And the tax cuts almost didn't make it through the House because of some Republicans who were opposed to adding to the deficit. And so now it has to go to a conference, and they have to iron out the differences between the two bills and then redebate it and put it back on the floor in both the House and the Senate. And maybe it will be what the president requires, one big, beautiful bill. But this is a very tough road. And there are a lot of potholes to overcome in this travel. So whether they make the deadline March 14th really remains to be seen. And it may not be a budget at all. It may be another continuing resolution until they manage to pass something, you know, once and for all.
Linda Kenyon, Washington correspondent for Illinois Public Media. Thanks, as always, for keeping us informed.
You are welcome.
More to come after a break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.